Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
We haven't done this in a while, so I think today's a good day to do it. Yes. Lift your Bibles up and let's declare this over the Word. This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can be what it says I can be. No matter what the devil says. No matter what the world says. No matter what our crazy, don't say crazy, no matter what our family says. And no matter what my circumstances say. Today, I'm a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I'm going to receive everything God has for me. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God, be seated in the house and open up to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. While you're turning there, we're going to do a quick little review because what started off to be a one message Sunday morning service has turned into a series, and this is message number 10. Amen. And it started just simply, the title is Go to Church. Now you're here, so praise God, you got the message. But why do you go to church? That's really been the heart of this, the emphasis of this, because I've had it, my wife has had it, and I'm sure many of you have had it over the years. You know, different people come up to us, they say, well, do you still do the kids thing there? I got to get my kids in church. Okay, great, you got to get them there. What about you? And why do you know that you need to get your kids there? They usually don't have an answer for that. Or you run into those people and they're like, you mention church and yeah, I know I got to get back to church. I know I got to get back to church, but they can't tell you why. So this is kind of a two-part deal. It's number one, so you have some ammo, information. When somebody says, well, you know, why do I need to go to church? Oh, I'm glad you asked. We just did a series on that. There are things in church that happen in church that won't happen anywhere else. And that's why we go to church. But two, it's a reminder for you and I why we come here. So we don't get so familiar. Now, yes, we should be familiar with God, meaning that we understand his move, his flow, the atmosphere, what he's doing. That's okay, but not so familiar with him that it just turns it's just church. Right. Oh, he's on this series again. Oh, he's going to review again. And if you've been here long enough, my reviews sometimes become my whole message. So, but if we do that way, that means God wanted something emphasized for somebody. Yes. Amen. Yes. And usually in those messages, when I think it's just simply a review, those are where we get the greatest testimonies out of. So, we go to church for a reason, and that's why we're dealing with this. We started the first message in John chapter 11 talking about Jesus when he went to Lazarus's tomb. And he said to Lazarus, Lazarus has been dead now for several days. Now he stinketh, King James. And he says, come forth. Lazarus had to respond. You know, you and I, when the word goes forth, when the preacher's preaching, when God is saying, you have to respond. It's not, and I'm not just simply saying the amen. You're doing something behind the amen, right? You know, when Jesus says, when the word says, when we preach it, teach it, show it, demonstrate it, you got to do something with it. It's not automatic. If it was automatic, then why do we do this? Jesus already did everything 2,000 years ago and we wouldn't have to do anything, but we have a problem because he said, red letters, go work out your own salvation. His words, you go work out your own salvation. With fear and trembling, which means there has to be some severity with this. Amen. So you got to take the word and do something with it. You have to respond. That was one thing we dealt with. The second thing we dealt with is when Lazarus did come forth and he did respond. He told his disciples, Jesus told his disciples, now go loose him. Right. It takes the church to get the grave clothes off. And we emphasized in that message that word loose carries the exact same meaning as anointing. To lift, to destroy. It takes the church, And it takes elders, it takes believers, it takes those who are solid in their walk with God to help other people who are learning all of this to get the grave clothes off and destroy them so you don't put them back on. Right. Amen. And only the anointing of God can do that. But that happens here in the church. Yes. Amen. And then, of course, we talked about unity. You know, there's unity in the faith. When you come here, we learn how to believe the same things, believe for the same things, pray together, stand together. Amen. And when I say fight together, that's not fight with each other. That means stand side by side and fight with one another that till victory comes. Amen. The second message we dealt with was in Matthew chapter 22. And we see that, you know, this is where Jesus gives the parable of the marriage supper. And we see the guy who shows up who's not dressed right. And through that whole message, we dealt with the fact that you can't serve God however you want. You know, we have a lot of people all over this country, all over this world right now, that they think they're okay because they got an image, a thought of, they kind of do what they want, how they want, when they want, if they want. And they think, well, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Well, Jesus does love you, yes, but if you loved him, you would actually find out what the scriptures say. If you love me, keep my commandments. That means do what I said. And he said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and that much more so as the day approaches. That means go to church, right? And then it goes on to say, if you love me, keep my sayings. That means you got to guard it, protect it. Don't allow anybody to mess with the doctrine that's been proven, because God said, I will prove my word preached. When we preach God's word in the house of God, God demonstrates the truth behind it, however he wants to. You know, whether we have an anointing service, laying on of hands, an altar call, or just simply when we're blessing and you go out there, and then of course it begins to work in your life because you work it in your life. Amen. And God proves the word that was just preached. Amen. But you can't serve God however you want. That's why even in that passage it says, many are called, but few are chosen. God's called everybody. But unfortunately, not everybody shows up in the expected way to show up. You go to a wedding, there's an expectation that everybody's going to show up a certain way. Right? Now, I do realize in 2026, things are changing. I get that. However, there's a generalized understanding, if you're invited to a wedding, it's suit and tie. Right? There's an expectation when you show up, you're going to look a certain way. There's an expectation when you show up, it's not about you. Doesn't always happen, but there's an expectation. Well, no different in this day. And Jesus uses this illustration to say God's kingdom is the same way. There's an expectation that you and I are to put on Christ, to live like Christ, to look like, sound like, act like, which doesn't happen overnight, but it takes the church to show you how to do this. Amen. Amen. Third message we dealt with in Luke chapter 18, we talked about spiritual posture. We dealt with the publican and the Pharisee in the house of God, two different locations in the sanctuary. Two different attitudes in their prayer and how they're talking and addressing God. Well, let me rephrase that. One is actually talking to God. The other one thinks he is a God. And in that context, even, we see the Pharisee who's, you know, talking to himself, praying to himself. He's judging people. But really what he's doing, he's comparing himself to other people. And if you don't have the right spiritual posture, you and I, we can all fall into this. We have the tendency to justify our behaviors by judging or comparing down. Right. Well, I know I'm not right, but at least I'm not as bad as him. Well, I know I lied, but at least I didn't steal. Well, I know that I cost that person the job, but I didn't kill anybody. If there's one problem with God, sin is across the board. Yes. It's even. See, the right spiritual posture is you're not even comparing yourself up. It's okay to look towards the elders of the church and the brothers and say, you know, I want to be like them. Yeah. It is okay. But we look up to Jesus. He's our standard. Yes. He's the standard. Amen. We just had my pastor in this past Tuesday, and man, I was so blessed to finally have him back after 2 years. I don't want to be Dr. Barclay, but I do want to be like him. Because he just walks with God. Amen. But I don't want to be him. There's only one Dr. Barclay. Amen. So it's okay to esteem, and it's okay to, I'd love to be like them, but I don't want to be them. Jesus is our standard. Amen. In spiritual posture, you learn how to approach God, how to deal with God, how to handle the things of God, how to handle the things in the house of God. Amen. You learn that all here because you learn it by watching others. You also learn it by people adjusting you. Hey, we don't do that here. We don't put our feet up on the seats here. We don't go running around on, we don't write on the walls. What else have we done here? We don't put holes in the walls. Amen. The fourth message we dealt with is John chapter 10, verse 27. It's knowing the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. So you come to church and you learn the voice of God. Well, how do you learn the voice of God? The Word of God. And you get the Word of God. And you get the Word of God. Yes. See, this sounds so simple to a church like this, but when you start going around, you start getting around preachers, you get around different denominations and different issues in the trends of the day, there are more people shutting this and putting this away than there are actually reading out of this now. So you come to the house of God, especially, this is why Hebrews 10:25 says, and that much more so as the day approaches. Because there is so much heresy out there. Now, I don't think most of it's intentional, but there's so much error that has led to heresy. Because we drop a word here, we change a word here, we have an opinion here, we have a thought here, and then before you know it, it's like that old game telephone. It starts over here that the cat is pink. By the time you get over there, it's a giraffe that's purple. And along the way, everybody's going, yeah, that sounds good. And how many people are goofed up and messed up because of it? Right. So you come to the house of God to learn the Word of God. You hear the Word of God. And by learning the Word of God, you start to know His voice for several reasons. Number one, when you start listening and you're hearing somebody outside start saying something contrary to this, what do we normally say? That doesn't sound like God. Well, have you ever heard God? No. You've heard the preacher preach the word. But because of the word, you go, I know how God sounds. That doesn't sound like God. God doesn't say that. No, that's not what he said. Amen. The other reason that we have that is because you have your own thoughts. You think sometimes, I think sometimes, that we got to deal with ourselves. That we don't, no, we're just going to stick with the word. Well, my opinion is, well, that's great. You have an opinion. So does everybody else. Why don't we just stick with what God said? Because he meant what he said and he's not changing it. Amen. But then the third reason is also Satan. The Bible says that Satan comes and he casts or throws these fiery darts. What new modern translation says fiery missiles. He throws these things, these thoughts, hoping that you might take it. Now, he challenged Jesus on his own word. Jesus in heaven, his name is the Word. And he challenged Jesus in his own word. Does it not say Jesus? I can only imagine, this is my take, this is my opinion, that Jesus said in himself, are you an idiot? You think I don't know what it said? I am the Word. But he didn't even defend himself that way. All he said was, it is written. It is written. It is written. Amen. So when Satan comes to give thoughts and ideas and, you know, we do what the Bible says. Again, what the Bible says. You cast down. You take authority over every imagination that exalts itself. Every thought, every imagination that exalts itself above the authority of God himself. You cast it down. That ain't God. That's not his voice. That's not his word. Amen. We have a very famous preacher right now on the other side of the planet. He's a ding-a-ling. Yes. And I say that because he says when he hears ding-a-lings or chimes, he's a ding-a-ling. That God has told him that when he hears chimes in his head, he can preach the message that he has in his head, even if it doesn't line up with this. I don't know how that church didn't shut down right after that statement. This isn't slander. It's in his books. How'd you get there? Because Satan doesn't come with the long tail, the pitchfork, and the horns. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. That doesn't mean he's beautiful. Light in that context means illumination, revelation. That he comes to reveal what he wants you to run with. He'll take God's word and he'll twist it just enough to get you in trouble. This is why we need to learn the word to know his voice. So when his voice comes, I know he's not in the ground, but you know what I mean. When Satan speaks, you go, nah, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like my God. That doesn't sound like my God who wrote that Bible for me. Amen. You go to church to learn his voice, to know his voice. Amen. The fifth message we dealt with was in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We talked about the anointing for the appointment. And we dealt with the service because it says, you know, by the laying on of hands by the presbytery, the leadership of the church, Timothy was anointed by God, but also by the leadership in Paul to preach the word. In that day, in that hour, regardless of what people thought about him, he was anointed for it. There was something that was deposited in him because of the laying on of hands. Well, sometimes we do that. And we do that a lot around here. But that's not how it always happens. Sometimes just sitting there, hearing the word, God is making deposits that you have no idea what they're for. You have no idea when they're going to manifest. You have no idea. Why is he preaching and teaching about that? What does that have to do with my issues right now? Doesn't matter. God does. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know, those who bake, those who cook, those who are chefs in here, they know this, that when you're baking something, you got to put different ingredients in it. But sometimes, depending on what you're making, you just can't throw everything into a bowl. Sometimes you got to do a little bit here, cook it, bake it, broil it, simmer it. I got the right terms, right? I'm on course. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. Now, if we're talking carburetors, gasoline, and diesel, I got that down. But sometimes you take that so far, and then you got to pull it back out, and then you add more ingredients. And depending on what you're making, you could do that a couple of times, two, three, four times, I don't know. For what? To get the end result that you're looking for. Yeah. The meal that you're looking for. Yeah. But you can't throw everything, because if you threw everything all in at once, and if you throw it in out of order, it'll ruin the meal. Amen. Yeah. See, this is why we just trust God and what he says about what we're preaching. You know, yes, I'll sit and I'll write my message, I'll take my notes and I'll study, and then if I'm still not feeling it, I've got probably a good 100 or so messages that I have and I thought they were amazing messages. Never got to them. Because we get here and God says, that's not what I have for today. Exactly. Because what he had for today was what somebody in here needed for that day. Because he knows the ingredients, he knows the deposits he's making. Amen. So when you come to church, it's setting you up for the anointing, for the appointments that he's got for you. Amen. And then we went into the next message, building off of that. We talked about keeping the appointment. Acts chapter 6, where we see the original seven deacons that were elected or appointed for position. And there was criteria. And all seven met it. That's kind of a sad statement when you know the account. All seven met the criteria. They were all anointed for the position. It appears that six of the seven kept the appointment. They did what they were called. Two of them, we know that they went on. You know, one, miracles happen. Jesus steps up from his throne to receive him into heaven. The other, I mean, come on, he got translated. He's out in the middle of the desert, witnesses to one guy. He's over there, then he's translated. Like, beam me up, Scotty. Star Trek type stuff. Into another location where he's evangelizing, and he's supposed to be evangelizing. Miracles happened. We've got the account of two. The others, we don't have much history, even church history on them, other than their names. And usually in the scriptures, names carry meaning. But then we got the last guy, Nicholas. He didn't keep the appointment. He didn't keep the appointment because to keep the appointment, that means you're going to be serving in God's house, helping out, doing something in the house of God, that at some point, you're going to get corrected. Especially if you're in leadership and helps ministry, you're going to get corrected a little bit more than those who just show up and that's all they do. Because now you're in a position where you could be affecting other people. So we're going to have to make sure, hey, you don't do that. You don't act like that. You got to get this in order. And Nicholas is one of those guys that, you know, he's the first church hurt person. Because he got offended with Peter and the leadership because they adjusted him. Hey, you can't treat your wife the way you are. You can't treat her like that. You can't handle her like that. That's out of order. We don't do that. Come on, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a man of honor. What are you doing? He got mad. He left the church. And then he started preaching his own doctrine. And tell me if this sounds a little bit familiar to you. I hope it doesn't. The teachings of Jesus are too hard. Jesus did everything. You don't have to do anything anymore. We're saved by grace. It's already taken care of. Don't worry about a thing. It doesn't matter where you go and who you go with. It doesn't matter what your preference is or what your pronoun is or what your... See, the demons of today have convinced the people of today that they came up with this. This demon has been lying to the church and those who offended in the church for 2,000 years. It's not some new doctrine or revelation. It's the same stinking demon that they've been entertaining because of offense. So if you're going to keep the appointment, one of the things you have to fight off is offense. Because Satan will work overtime. Once you get into the house of God, once you start serving in the house of God, once you start realizing, wait a minute, God has more for me to do, he is going to work overtime to get you offended with me. And then get you offended with the elders, and then the leadership, and then you're going to be off and going, doing your own thing, and going shipwreck. Nicholas went shipwreck. And now, for 2,000 years, because of his attitude, because of his doctrines, he's been causing multitudes to go shipwreck for almost 2,000 years. Jesus, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, when Jesus was dealing with the seven churches, two of the churches, he said to them, you guys, you got some issues here. You're allowing the practices of, and you're preaching their doctrines. And Jesus said about both, I hate them. Now, this is the God of love. Everything Jesus does is perfect. He loves perfectly. He can also hate perfectly too. And when he said he hated, he hates what they're doing, their behavior, their lifestyle. He hates their doctrines. Maybe you and I should take heed to that, not listen to that. Which means, okay, if offense will be the number one thing to get you off, let's deal with that. That we don't get offended with the preacher, we don't get offended with the word, we don't get offended with the eldership, because when God is trying to adjust and correct, it's for your benefit. Amen? Amen. So you don't go shipwreck later on. So we talked about keeping the appointment. Then we dealt with that just a little bit deeper, because not only keeping the appointment, and this is why Satan works overtime. The seventh message we dealt with was in 1 John chapter 2, talking about, you know, having loving the things of this world. Loving carnality. Now, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. But does the stuff have you? Is that stuff, is that person, is that family member more important to you than Jesus? There's a reason why we have, remember Lot's wife in the scriptures. We have absolutely no indication that Lot's wife had an issue with God, none whatsoever. But apparently she loved what was in the city more than she did what God said to do. And she suffered the same judgment that the city suffered. Because that pillar of salt, the meaning behind that is she got pulverized by everything else just as well. When God was trying to get her out of that mess. Because her heart was still attached to, yes, her family. But her family said no to God and yes to the world. So we're talking about keeping the appointment. Because you and I may not understand how big the appointment is. God does. And Satan, he knows this one thing. If God has an appointment for you, God does nothing small. So it's got to be big. Now, you may not see the big in your lifetime, but whatever he's trying to do, it's big. And we dealt with a couple of things. We talked about Philip, you know, the evangelist of the first deacons group. He goes, he preaches to one Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. 2,000 years later, they're still preaching Jesus there. And then when the nation of Israel is coming back to, and all the descendants are coming back to, there's a group that came out of Ethiopia that were coming back to take their rightful claim, declaring, no, Jehovah, but no, Jesus. Yeah. And this is back in the 80s. And they kept saying that because of the doctrine, paraphrasing, because of the doctrine that Philip preached, we serve the Jesus that Philip preached. Yes. One man in the desert. 2,000 years later, still going. And of course, I also brought, you know, a Sunday school teacher, because that hits us a little bit closer to home. Yeah. Sunday school teacher back in the 1800s, late 1800s, having to deal with those hyperactive boys. Yeah. Basically, the assignment wasn't, you know, Sunday school teacher, it's get them out of here so they're not disrupting the service. But he took that assignment, he took that appointment so serious, for God, by God, that he made sure that before those boys left his Sunday school, we'd probably call it teen class today, but before they left that Sunday school, he knew that they knew Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, right? So much so that he chased one kid down to his job at a shoe store, led him to the Lord right there. Dwight W. Moody, which would start a chain of events. He would lead somebody. And everybody in that group that were led to the Lord, they had great ministries of their own. But God's appointment's always bigger than we think.
Yes.
Never knowing that 76 years later, the connection because of one faithful Sunday school teacher to preach the gospel to a bunch of boys that are so stinking hyper. 76 years later, a young Billy Graham would give his life to Jesus Christ and then become the evangelist that we know. And they say that he won 2.2 billion, not million, billion, through the course of his lifetime in ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is connected, that goes to the account all the way back to that faithful Sunday school teacher. Because like today, most be, oh, thank God they're out of the class. They've gone back to their parents. Good, I'm done with them. I don't have to deal with them for another week. We have no idea how big the appointment is. Abraham, father of many nations. We have a whole chapter dedicated to these people in our Bible. The faith of God, trusting God, the assignments, the appointments, so large, so big, that they never saw it in their lifetime. But man, all the way to the grave, and now looking over the balconies of heaven going, yep, God, you were right.
That's right.
Look at how big this is. What if he hadn't? Amen? So we talked about, you know, protecting that, not just because you have no idea how big it is. Doesn't matter if you see it in your lifetime or right away. You just stick with it. You guard it. You protect it. Amen? Then we talked about Luke 21, we talked about the signs of heaven, you know, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And we went through that whole, you know, that portion of the chapter, that Jesus is coming. Well, we were talking about signs, and we're kind of building off of Pastor Chuck Eveline and what he was preaching. And I just simply used the whole, all right, on my truck, I got a check engine light. Yeah. There are warning lights for a reason. Something's not right. When you come to the house of God, my job is not to preach a message that makes you feel happy every time you come in here. But I flat out guarantee you, you'll be happy if you take this and apply it to your life. You'll be happy at some point when you leave here. Amen. The check engine light isn't to frustrate me. It's to tell me something ain't right. Well, same thing happens in the house of God when we're preaching, teaching messages, because my assignment, Timothy, book of Timothy, is to preach in season and out of season. Well, in the new, the classic Amplified version, it says to show you how your lives are wrong. That's not me pointing my finger. When you preach this, this points the finger and saying, all right, we don't slander, we don't lie, we don't gossip, we don't talebear. And if you're doing any of those, it's telling you something's wrong. Stop doing. Amen. The different warnings that we have. You know, some have a form of godliness. They're denying the power thereof. From such, run from. That's a warning sign. Amen? And all these things God shows us because he's trying to get our attention, because he's not just trying to frustrate and irritate you. He's trying to upgrade you. Because I use the example of, I got two trucks. We will get to this message, I promise. We're almost there. I have these two trucks. One's an old one, one's a new one. Both are same, made by the same manufacturer. Both have the same engines, kind of, sort of. But they look nothing alike. Now, the old one I've rebuilt. I got all brand new parts in it, except it's 54-year-old technology. So even though everything's brand new, it still doesn't function like our new stuff does. That's how it is when you get born again. God makes everything new.
Yes.
Everything's new, but you're still in that old state. God needs to upgrade you. And every year, this is why every, you know, the car guys, we pay attention, dealerships, whatever. Every year, there's an upgrade on what you just had from last year. There's always an upgrade. It's getting better, and it's getting better. And, you know, my 54-year-old truck that has a 327, well, my 2026 that has a 327, night and day. But it's the same numbers. But one has been upgraded so much. I get 8 miles to the gallon. I get 30 miles to the gallon. This is fun to drive when it's nice out. I can drive this one all year long. Yeah. Amen. Because God wants to upgrade you. He doesn't want to just make you new and let you sit there. Amen. Leave you where you're at, just that you're going to heaven and be happy with that. No, he wants to upgrade you. And you get upgraded every time you come to the house of God. You get upgraded. Things change. God begins to show you, no. You were doing this, but we need to adjust this. We got to get better with this. You need to... Amen. Yeah. The purpose is that God wants us upgraded. Amen. Yeah. I wrote this down, and I did not preach this, but I want to say this here about that upgrade. Your condition today should be superior, because that's what it is. My new truck is superior to my old truck, technically, comfort-wise, emissions-wise, fuel economy. Every aspect of that truck, it's superior to the older one. Yeah. But the older one's just cool. I don't get any thumbs up in my new truck.
No, you don't.
But man, I get heads spinning around when they see my old one. But the new one is superior. So your condition today should be superior to what it was yesterday.
That's good.
However, today's state should be inferior to what you're going to be tomorrow.
Come on. Good.
Because God never stops upgrading you until you're face to face with Him. And you learn that, you grow in that, you get upgraded when you come to church. Amen? Because a good church loves you enough to not let you stay where you're at. Everybody's welcome. You're just not welcome to stay where you're at. Amen. Let's see. And then last Sunday we had our baby dedication, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that they should go. For when they are old, or it means even when they're older, they won't depart from it. Because we've seen the young prodigals, they go off, but thank God the word's in them, so they do come back. But I'm also watching this now. The older I get, it bugs me. I can't stop it, but it just bugs me nonetheless. I'm watching these people who have walked with God, served God, and then all of a sudden they get older and they think that it's some sort of spiritual retirement. That they don't, now, and I'm not talking about they stopped helping in helps ministry because they can't physically do something anymore, or like Pastor Sam Smith, my father-in-law's pastor, you know, he got sick, he was older, so he retired and went back down to Texas where he came from, but now he's preaching and he's mentoring those young preachers behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Even though his assignment changed, he never stopped serving God.
Right.
I'm talking about those who think that they've gone far enough and now I don't got to serve God anymore. I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to do that. No. So even when they're old, it doesn't depart from them. And we dealt with two verses, one in Hebrews, one in Ephesians, and we dealt with the word provoke. It's our job, parents, guardians, elders, brothers, sisters, pastors, church, to provoke. In Hebrews, we provoke others in love unto good works. We stir them up. We entice them. We get them excited about serving God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, the entice there isn't like, if you serve God, I'll give you $15. I think, you know, like most of our kids, well, I'll go to church if you give me $20. No, you'll go to church, you're going to be grounded for the next 10 years.
Yes.
Amen. No. We entice them with what? Showing and demonstrating how God moves.
Yes.
Not playing church, being the church,
where
God's anointing, His presence is welcomed. Amen. It's not a show. It's not choreographed.
Amen.
We've talked about this quite a bit with different preachers, but we were just talking about this again the other night. It's like you can't do what we're seeing happening in churches now, where services are choreographed. You know, if God has told them to do it, all the power to them. I just don't understand how these quote unquote satellite churches can work. Where you have to choreograph both services in different campuses and locations because we got to make sure timing is right because everybody's watching a screen. put a preacher behind the pulpit. And let God flow in that church, because all that is I'm sorry, it's no different than going to the movie theater. Amen? Amen. But we have to create an environment that God is welcomed.
Yes.
We don't put on a show. We just do it His way.
Right.
And then He shows up and He does it His way.
Yes.
Amen? But then also in Ephesians, we looked at, provoke not your children unto wrath.
Right.
So people can stir up their kids with their behavior, with their attitudes, with their actions. You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but you know, here in this church, we had a minister years ago. He told his kids, when you turn 18, you don't have to go to church if you don't want to.
Yep.
He should have been slapped upside the head. I wasn't the pastor. That wasn't my deal. And we found out about that years later.
Right.
So it wasn't like it was going on and we just ignored it. But it's like, you did what? And then you wonder why your kids don't go to church? But if you have that in you to say that,
right,
what are you doing outside of here?
Yes.
It wasn't just the words. Stirred, provoked, showed them, this is how we live. This is what we do. Because we're going to lead people to the Lord. We're going to show them how to walk with God more with our example and lifestyle than anything we ever say. And that even includes the preacher behind the pulpit. We're going to preach it and teach it, but we live this. And that's what people are watching.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what we dealt with last week. And of course, that's coming to church. You know, one of the things everybody in here knows is, I can say this about my father-in-law. He was the same man here as he was outside. There was no fluff. There was no show. As wild as he was here, he was just as wild out there. The joy he had here, the same joy he had out there. The same love and excitement he had for people here, he had that out there. It wasn't a show. And I think you guys have watched me, known me, and followed me long enough that I'm the same wherever I go.
Yes.
But if you're going to do that, that means you got to be around.
Amen.
You do have to do some investigation. Pay attention. Is he the real deal? Does he really believe what he preaches?
Right.
Is he really living what he's preaching? Amen?
Amen.
So this is not just for kids, but this is why we preached that last Sunday. Yes, baby dedication, but also, this is why you go to church, to see. I love my pastor, his story that he tells. When he first got born again, he was still serving the Marines, and he was a drill instructor. And they found this first church that they were going to, and of course, his assignment in the Marines, he did recon stuff, that he, because of his expertise, he began, today we would call it stalking. But he began investigating the members of that church. He wanted to make sure, are you the real deal? Because of all the issues he had in his life, he kept saying, if I find out that these people are living the same way I am, they can't help me. I need a church that's really the church. If they're drinking like me, smoking like me, cussing like me, they can't help me. So he began to follow them, and he began to pay attention to what they're doing, how they're living outside. And he found out, no, they were the real deal. And he got planted in that church. And of course, God began to move, do. And of course, the assignment, the appointment for his life has been massive. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't seem to do that anymore. We don't seem to, who cares? It doesn't matter that he's got three girls on the side. He preaches a good word. It makes me happy. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, they're extorting. They haven't taken any money from me, so I'm okay. We live in a weird day for the church. So we need to stick with the Word, stick with the Bible, stick with God, and let God prove all of this. Amen? John chapter 20. I gave you plenty of time to get there. If you haven't found it, I'm going to send you upstairs to Sunday school. John 20, are you there? Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And of course, you know, he's risen, he's ascended, he's got to go before the Father, but he's coming back, and praise God, and because this is Resurrection Sunday. For 3 days now, everybody's been faithless. Everything Jesus said, they believed while he was walking with them. But then he goes to the cross. Now everybody threw everything out. So she comes. She gets him stirred up in this account. Verse 19. In the same day, At evening, beginning on the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, that wasn't, they just shut the door. They were locked, padlocked, chained, big old bar like the beam. They secured themselves inside because they were afraid that what happened to Jesus was about to happen to them. So when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled. Say assembled.
Assembled.
They're having a little church service of sorts. They were assembled for fear of the Jews came, or for fear of the Jews. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Say peace.
Peace.
We're going to go back and deal with that word peace in just a moment. Peace be unto you. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and then were his disciples glad. And then they saw the Lord, or when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus unto them, peace, say peace.
Peace.
Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, in this context, this case, this is where they got born again. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this is their born again experience, because you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. So their born again experience begins. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. 24, but old Tommy boy was not with them when Jesus came. The sad part about Thomas, he's got a tremendous ministry. Church history proves it. Unfortunately, in the scriptures, we just remember him for the time he missed church. 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. They're talking to Thomas. But he said unto them, Except shall I see his hands, the print of the nails, and I put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. That's how a lot of the church is today. Unless I see it, I won't believe it. Well, I'll get to that thought in a moment. Verse 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. He went to church. Praise God. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace. Say peace.
Peace.
Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, thank God for his mercy, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Verse 28 is basically a statement of repentance. I shouldn't have questioned you. Shouldn't have doubted. You told us. What was I thinking? That's basically what that statement is. He's repenting. And he's also repenting for the stupid statement he made. That, think about this. Jesus had to show up to a church servant and say, come here, Tommy. I heard what you said. You know that's going through his head. Oh, my Lord, he heard me. Why would he say, because that's what you said. I won't believe until I. Thank God. Amen. So, in three places, Jesus says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Earlier on in John, Jesus says, I leave you my peace. And then he begins to say, it's not a peace that the world's going to have. Right? This is that same peace he's talking about. But this peace carries this meaning of prospering. Prosperity. What's the whole context of what he's dealing with right now? Their faith. Where is this happening? Church. Who didn't have faith when it happened the first time? Thomas, because he wasn't in church. With a couple of moments I have, I just want to exhort for a few moments. You come to church so you don't miss the opportunities to grow in your faith. Because there are some opportunities that will only happen in the house of God. Where your faith, there'll be an anointing here. there'll be something that's experienced here. There'll be something that takes place here that even though you could see it, because honestly, I'm kind of one of those guys right now. I don't care what you play on TV anymore. I don't care what you even play on the stream anymore. Unless you're in the room, how do you know it's real? Everything can be fabricated. The programs and the algorithms out there are so easy to get now. You can download a basic program right now. Justin did it. He's got a video of him and his boss tobogganing down a hill. Elon. The two of them are having the time of their lives just tobogganing down this big old mountain. I'm pretty sure Justin has not met Elon Musk face to face. And I flat out guarantee you that Elon's not tobogganing down a hill with him. But if you watch this video, it's freaky how real it looks. Now, I say that in contrast to thinking back years and years ago when John Osteen, who's in heaven, Pastor Osteen, who founded and established Lakewood Church, you know, he was trying to get his church to raise money to get on TV because God had told him to go onto TV. And they just couldn't seem to get it going, couldn't get it off the ground, but he kept believing, kept doing. And then during one of their services, there's a guy that starts walking down from the back of the sanctuary down the center aisle. And he was about to stop him or have the usher stop him, and God said, "Don't you dare stop him." And here comes creation, but it's almost like out of Forrest Gump. Yeah. All the bracketry is falling off him. All the stuff is falling off him. By the time he got to the altar, he was completely and totally 100% restored and healed. Pastor John made a statement to the church because the whole church is going nuts, like because they've known this guy his entire life. He's been in this condition. And I think he was like in either 40s or 50s at that point. So here he is, and Pastor John just makes a statement. He goes, "Man, you know how many people we could have reached and changed their lives if we had that TV equipment and they saw that miracle happen?" Right. Now, that's back in the 80s. Today, that doesn't apply. Today, you got to be in the house. Because everybody, even if we do believe it, we can prove it, somebody will be a skeptic and say, "No, that's not real. AI did that." So the miracles that you are going to witness in the house, you got to be here for it.
Amen.
And I pastor you.
Yes.
I love all of you, but I know some of you.
Yeah.
You'll see a miracle happen right now in the house of God, and you'll still have some stupid comment to make. "Well, I know God did it for them, but, you know, hopefully he'll do it for me." Go.
Yeah. It's true.
But when you don't go to church, you miss the opportunities. Because you don't know from one service to the next what God's going to do. You don't know from one service to the next when God's going to show up. And now, he's here every service. But how he's going to show up, how he's going to demonstrate, what he's going to do. How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever had that day? Everything is broken loose in your life. Your boss is nuts. Your kids are out of control. Your body is rebelling. The dishwasher failed.
Yes.
The animals are out of control.
Yes.
You're exhausted. You're wiped out. And you're like, "You know what? I just don't have enough. I don't have the strength to even go to church. I want to go to church, but I don't have it." And yet you still push through.
Yes.
And when you showed up on that service, God showed up for you. And you had, when you preached that, "That's what I've been praying for." When you said that, "That's what," when they prayed, that, yeah, because God showed up.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what would have happened had you succumbed to that?
Right.
You know what? It's just one service. This isn't a "you better be here or else." But you don't know when God's going to show up. You don't know what God's going to do when he shows up. I don't know. We could still have a healing line right now. I don't feel God saying to do that right now, but I don't know. The service isn't done yet. It's his service, not mine. It's his service, not yours. When he's done, he's done. But when we come expecting, we dealt with that. But then what happens if, okay, you're on the other side of the screen. You're watching. Praise God, you're watching. But you're not here. "Well, there's no distance in the spirit." Well, that's true, yes, but that's like getting a doggy bag.
Come on. Yes.
It's never the same.
Never.
Now, God can and God will and God has. But generally speaking, he does that for those who can't be.
Right.
Not for those who excuse to be.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Missed opportunities for God to move in their lives.
Lord.
So we go to church so we don't miss those opportunities. Because three times in that context, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. May your faith prosper. May your faith increase. May you put yourself in a position for an opportunity for your faith to grow. Because everything out there is taking the opportunity to deflate your faith. To poke holes in your faith. Issues, circumstances, people, family, co-workers, you name it, they're doing it. But in here, God is showing up. His anointing is here to increase your faith. To demonstrate so your faith is increased. For deposits.
Yes.
You know, we were dealing with this on our Bible study on Thursday night. How many of you have been in here? You know, if you've been with us, you know, from the beginning, 42 years of ministry. I've been here almost the entire time. And I can tell you, there have been many times I've heard my pastor, you know, before he stepped into heaven. He would preach the same message over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? But then there was that one time, same message, same illustration. If you knew him, same jokes. But why that service? Did that verse jump off the page at me? Why that service did I get the revelation that I've been praying about for 5 years? Why that service? Because that's when God decided. But what if I wasn't there? What if Thomas wasn't there that second service? He should have been there the first. Thank God, God's mercy, he showed up for the second one. But this is why God is dealing with them. Peace be unto you, peace be unto you. May your faith prosper, because all of them had the same issue. When Jesus went to the cross, their faith was gone. Jesus is dead. But if they had been listening to him, he was saying, I'm going to die, but I'll be back. Right? So now he's reminding them, my peace, my peace. It's not like the world's peace. This peace, I'm not even just speaking over you, I'm anointing you with. That your faith prosper. In this hour, this day, this time, I've said this many times, peace is one of the greatest commodities that we're going to have to be able to walk out these last days. Well, this peace is not from Jesus. This peace is with Jesus.
Amen.
He's the Prince of Peace. He doesn't give you peace. He brings his peace with him.
Amen.
As you walk with him. But the peace that we need for our faith to grow is no matter what it looks like. No, don't care what it looks like. Don't care what the report is. Don't care how bad it looks. Don't care what they're saying. Don't care what this one's saying. Don't care what that one's saying. No, God said it. That settles it.
Amen.
Amen. That's not just for the preachers. This is for every believer. Because it doesn't matter. You live on this earth long enough, you're going to have something come down the pike.
Oh, yeah.
A report, some financial issue, some family issue, some diagnosis. Maybe not you, but maybe somebody, a loved one. You're going to have something come down the road.
Yeah.
What's the very first thing that's going to rattle? Your peace.
Come on. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. See, we come in here to not miss those appointments where God is doing. Sometimes that appointment is just simply that, what he did in this setting. Peace be unto you. He anointed them. Yes, they got born again at that moment, but he anointed them with a greater peace. That the same issues that they had when Jesus went to the cross, Peter, was certainly not the same issue afterwards, day of Pentecost, outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
preaching to the multitudes without fear. Why? Because there was an anointing.
Thank you, Lord.
But it was already being stirred long before that message,
yes,
long before that service, because of the anointing, because they were in the church. They were assembled together. Jesus showed up, was in the midst of them. Now, I could tell you story after story after story. I won't, because they're not good stories. Of, well, how come you did that on that service? I wasn't there. It's my fault that you didn't show up to church. You know, it's always amazed me. I miss a service, everybody questions where I'm at.
Yes.
Can I be honest with you? I thought about it this morning.
Yep.
I'm not feeling so hot right now.
Yep.
But I'm like, no, I've dealt with this before. I've dealt with things before. This ain't going to stop me. But had I missed this morning, where's Pastor? Why isn't he here? Oh, my word, something's going on. I knew it. There'd be some stupid thing going around or going on. But if I ask any of you, hey, we haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Is everything okay? We just want to pray for you. Mind your own business. Who do you think you are? And then they're always the same ones. Nothing but problems,
yes.
Issues, stuff. Something happens in the service. Well, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Should have been.
Amen.
Because you notice that God didn't stop what he was going to do just because you weren't there.
Amen.
Though what he did, you could have enjoyed if he had been there.
Thank you, Jesus.
This isn't a rebuke. Maybe it is a little bit. But that's exactly what it is. This is an upgrade.
Yes.
See, it's not just going to church to go to church. It's going to church expecting God to show up to church.
Yes.
And you have no idea what he's going to do every service. Amen?
Amen.
In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Short, simple little verse. You know, every time you come to church, you have no idea from one service to the next what God is doing. You know, there are preachers, and I do this myself, you know, that, because my wife, I want to say this right, because you'll get this. It's not that I don't flow in the Holy Ghost, but she wants to flow in the Holy Ghost every service.
That's right.
We just trust God that it's God's going to do.
Yes.
And so can we do this? Are we going to do this? I'm like, well, if God wants to, we'll do this. And she knows that. But then when God starts to deal with me on some things, it's like, all right, and we've done this a few times, and we've done it this year a couple of times. It's like, all right, we're going to get there. Well, we got to preach and teach on it first.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get some foundation before we do this. We got to get some foundation before we lay hands, anoint, and bind these things that are awesome. Because what good does it do if we lay hands, we bind, we curse all those things, and you go out there and you grab it all, pick it all up as soon as you walk out the door? Let's teach you how to stay out of it once you get it.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. So I've had instruction from God to do that a time or two. Other times it's like, no, let's just go for it. Because God said go for it. Amen. So there's times when you come to church that this service, God is doing something. He's preparing the ground. This service, he's planting the seed. This service, he's tending the ground. Again, I'm not a gardener, but I know how it works. And then it's harvest time.
Yes.
Well, what if you weren't there for the day that the seeds were sown?
Wow.
What if you weren't there for the day that it was harvested? What if you weren't? What if you weren't? And this is kind of where that statement, that understanding, it's like, listen, the harvest is past. Once harvest season's over, it's over. Everything dies if it hasn't been harvested. That doesn't matter if it's vegetation, organs. You know, those hunters, you only have a short period of time before you can harvest before everything's poisoned. There's times for a reason. So, seed, time, harvest. But then also, there's another part. There's a winter in that season. See, good farmers, they do something during the winter season. They repair their equipment. They prepare for the next season. They start stockpiling for their next year when they're going to go out and do it all over again. They don't just sit there and twiddle their thumbs and then, oops, it's springtime, I got to do something. But that happens even in the house of God. When God is doing, he's doing, he's doing. And then if you don't show up, but then they show up, oh, altar call. That's why you've heard me say this a time or two. When God says it, I'll say it. All right, if whatever it is, if you're dealing with us right now, we're praying over you right now, come down here. Because once this is done, this isn't me saying it's done. God says it's done.
Yeah, that's good.
See, this is part of the upgrade. Because you got to respond. Well, I didn't want to respond because I was embarrassed. Okay, well, go die in private. I don't know what else to say. My assignment's not to go find out. Don, are you dealing with anything? Justin, are you dealing with anything? We're going to have marriage counseling later. Doug, are you? And it's not my job to go, are you? No. God knows what you're dealing with. So when God says we're doing something here, if you don't respond, that's on you. But without fail, every line, every healing line, every anointing line, every pastor deals with this. We pray, we do, and then somebody later on kind of, well, you know, I wanted to go up, but I'll pray for you, but God said it was over, so. But I've actually done it. I'm like, sorry. God said no. Because you should have responded. Well, why won't you come visit me? I'm there every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Yeah. You're mad at me because I won't come visit you. You never come and visit me. Amen. That made me feel good. Praise God. Are you getting this? See, this isn't about church attendance. This isn't about so we just pack our churches. This is God trying to get your attention. That if you don't show up, you could be missing an opportunity for God to do what you've been asking him to do. Amen. Can you handle one last verse? Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6 and I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap."
Yes.
If we faint not. You don't know what that season is. You don't know if he's going to do it here or outside of here.
You're right.
Because God, I'm not just saying he only does stuff. You know that.
Yeah.
But you don't know when, so don't quit on him.
Amen.
Satan doesn't know when. But I got a feeling he can tell. And I'm not making a doctrine on that, but I think he can tell it's got to be right around the corner.
Yeah.
Which is why he'll amp up things. But he doesn't know when God, he doesn't know how God is going to do it, because he's not God. He's not omniscient like God is. However, it says in due season, if. So, if God's moving in the house and you don't show up, guess what you miss out on? And God said that he's going to pour out in these last days a greater anointing than he did in the former days. Not better, just greater. More of it.
Yes.
Amen. So what if you're not here to receive it? Then you'll show up and everybody's on fire, excited, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Now, I would encourage you, get caught up. But in well-doing, for in due season, God knows when. You just trust him that it's coming. Amen. We shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. Well, we open up the doors of the church and that gives you opportunity to get in a position to have your faith increased, to have miracles take place. We're doing everything we can on our power, our ability to give you an opportunity to get in the presence of God. If you don't take that, it's on you. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith.
Amen.
So this isn't about you coming here and blessing me. Though we're blessed and honored when you guys do stuff for it. But you know what blesses a pastor even more than anything you've ever done for us personally? When you show up to church.
Yes.
When you're faithful with the tithe.
Yes.
When you're faithful to serve. Because when you're faithful to him, he's faithful to you. Amen. And coming to church, not missing those appointments, allows God to do, allows God to show up, and it causes people to just get excited for God, serve God, grow with God, walk with God. Amen?
Amen.
So, don't be like old Tommy boy and miss church. Go to church. Expect God's going to show up because he shows up every time. And just be ready for when he actually demonstrates and does his things. Amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who's closing?
The birthday girl.
Get up here. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. In Jesus' name, may this take root in all of us. It's not about church attendance and just having people in the house. It's having that want to be here for when you show up so you can do what you want to do. Lord, help us to stir ourselves up in the name of Jesus so we can receive everything that you have for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.